The reading from the Gospel this morning is from chapter 20 of John, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails on his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, this is also time, if we have any children who would like to come forward. I know I can count with my three. And then there is one more. All right. Yes, this is a regular now. She's a regular. Well, guys, you know what faith is? What's faith? Believing, okay, that's, it brings a lot of things, right, when we think about what faith is, and one of those things that faith is about believing. Here we have a story of Thomas, and Thomas is saying that he wasn't exactly sure that he will believe his friends, right? Imagine somebody has died, and all of a sudden, his friends are telling him that Jesus is alive, that their friend is alive after he has been killed. What would you say to that? You probably will not believe it, right? I don't think anybody in this room actually will believe either. That's right. You probably will not believe it. Yeah. Well, it's human nature, right? It's just a normal thing that we would do. Because who would believe that somebody came from the dead? How many people do we know that go through that experience? Not many, right? Well, that's exactly what happened to Thomas here. And Thomas, of course, is just one person who's expressing what most likely everybody else would have expressed if they were not in the room when Jesus came in, right? But Jesus tells Thomas in the story something that is a challenge for all of us, for you and for me and for all the people in this church, and that is, believe. Because blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen. And it is a difficult thing to believe. It's a difficult thing to believe when you have not seen what you're being told, right? That, well, this is what happened. It's like you've been in church for a little while, right? Most of your life, right? Been in church. And this is something you learn in this church because we sort of celebrate this every year, right? And because we do this, you sort of have that sense that, yes, this might be something real. And that's really what this is all about. Sometimes we believe not because we have seen, but because we have people who witness to us, who tell us that they have experienced the living Christ in their lives. And that's what faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. Is believing that promise, and is believing in something that we can't see, something that we can't prove, and still believing because we know something in our hearts, of something inside of us tells us this is true. It's like when you hear your parents love you. When you hear about that and your parents tell you to do something even though you don't believe that that's the right thing to do, but you still go and do it, right? Because you have faith in your parents. It's the faith because they have sort of a track record. They love you, they care for you, so you sort of trust that. But here is the same thing with the Lord. It's trusting the Lord, and it's going on that trust, in that faith, that we as Christians move on. Would you pray with me? Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks for your blessings on us. For the faith, O Lord, that we share. For the faith, Lord, that we share with all the people in this church. We pray to you, Lord, for your continued guidance and your continued blessings. We pray to you, Lord, that you continue to strengthen our faith in you, that we may be your followers, and that we may come to believe, O Lord, in what you say to us. Help us, O Lord. Help us when we are doubting. For we need your faith, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. You know, the passage this morning is a continuation from last Sunday, right? What did we celebrate last Sunday? Not you have to tell me. I know you know. We were here. At least some of us were here. But it's that continuation of the passage from last Sunday. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. Last Sunday, we talked about that powerful experience and the meaning of that experience for us as people of faith in the world. Last Sunday, we were left with Mary telling the story. Mary being charged with going and telling. I wasn't going to start here, but let me just start in this place. Something tells me that this is the place to start. You know, when we have the story of this resurrection, in today's society and in today's contemporary world, we find ourselves in a situation where who can believe this stuff? This is a stuff for people of ancient times where faith like this and believing in resurrection is just so impossible and so incomprehensible. It's really not something we can comprehend. It really requires a lot of effort for some people to have this understanding or have this sense of faith or belief that actually somebody can come back from the dead. And as we heard from Thomas and from all of us, if somebody came and tell me, hey, your buddy, the Lord, is alive after you saw him dead, and you buried him, you will be saying the same thing. Amen? You know, not that we want to be doubting or anything like that, but the reality is it's part of our human experience. We haven't seen this before. We don't know anybody has done this before. And why? So the world we live in, of course, challenges our beliefs. Our science, our knowledge, our understanding of the world challenges our faith every single day. One of the things that we talk about in when we talk about theology in the church is that we have this wonderful story we have here in the New Testament, where we're told that there are some witnesses, some people who witness this experience of the resurrection. And what happens here in the story, of course, is that we find Mary, who has received the actual revelation. She actually went to the tomb, and she found that there was no Jesus. And then later on, she came actually and found Jesus, right? And then she was told to go and tell the disciples. Now, this is a very important thing, and I know you probably have heard this before, but you know, I think we need to always keep this in mind. In the ancient world, especially in the time of Jesus, if you wanted to have a witness to a major event to confirm or to corroborate a major event like this, you will not pick a woman. You hear me? You will not pick women to be the witness, because nobody will believe them. First, because they were not believable witnesses. So when we find in the story in the New Testament that the first people who find out that Jesus actually had come back from the dead were women, and that they were charged of telling the disciples and telling the people who were supposed to be the followers of Jesus, right, that Jesus has come back from the dead, if we were to pick somebody to say, tell the story, it would not have been women at that time. So today, of course, we have a different perspective, right? Today we're more progressive, amen? Today we believe women and men, sometimes. But hey, but you see, I put the two together. See, sometimes we believe us. But the reality is, you know, in the time of Jesus, that would not have been the people you will pick to speak the word, to give them good news that Jesus actually has been resurrected, because they will not have been believed. Now, it's not that they were worse than us. It's just that it was the culture, and that was a reality of the culture. So when we find in the story of the New Testament that you have that women are the first ones to receive the good news, and that they're the first one also to be the ones to go out and testify about who Jesus is and what has happened with Jesus, the story is telling us even women have found that the story is true. Of course, later on we find, of course, the disciples come, and then Jesus reveals himself to the disciples and so on. But the early tradition of the church was precisely that women were the first ones to believe. Now, for us today, that makes no difference. We don't think that that's any major thing. But in the time of Jesus, in the time of the disciples, of the first disciples, that was a huge deal. Huge deal. For you see, it's also telling us something about this resurrection that we talked about last week. Something new is taking place. Something new is taking place in the world. And in this community of the disciples, something new is taking hold. So Jesus now comes into this room and meets with the disciples. He comes into the room and bids them peace. Peace be with you. And then immediately after this, peace be with you, he tells them, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Now, some people in the church, and for many years, some people in the church have taken that to mean that it was specifically for the apostles, and that there is this thing that we call in the church, we have called the apostolic succession, meaning that you have from the apostles, you have some people who have basically received the inheritance to become the leaders of the church. And so we have in the church then developed this whole cast of people within the church, from priests and bishops and cardinals, and you know the whole thing, and that apostolic succession is what Jesus established at that point in this conversation. Now, that is what has been with our history in terms of the history of the church for a long time. But this passage is not about that. This passage is not establishing an apostolic succession. This passage is establishing that you and me, all of us, have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, have been empowered by Jesus to be witnesses in the world. For as the Father has sent Jesus, He is sending us now. As the Father has sent Jesus, now Jesus is sending you and me. And you would say, but who am I? Who am I? What am I? How can I do this? I mean, I'm nobody, right? Right? Okay. I'm nobody. How can I do this? I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not short enough. I'm not big enough or small enough. And so we will find many other excuses, right, for, why it can happen to me. Because sometimes we just think that it's about us, about my capacity, my possibilities, my power, my possibilities of doing something. But of course, Jesus comes back then and just following in this conversation, we're told in the story that He breatheth on the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So that we are now being told by Jesus, you are sent out. I am sending you out. But I am not sending you out by yourself. I'm sending you out with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, and I'm going to come back to this, but just so that you get the whole picture. So, and then after that, because if you had any doubt that you have been sent out, here Jesus comes and then says to them, and I'll give you authority now. Now, what kind of authority could this be? Jesus is giving authority to the disciples, just not any kind of authority. He says, I'll give you authority to forgive sins. Huh? What? What are you talking about? Authority to forgive sins. Me? I'm the first sinner, as Paul says, right? I'm the biggest sinner. But that's what God does to people. God is not asking you to make a decision about this, because God is already offering this to you. God is not telling you need to prepare yourself for this. God is telling you, I want to prepare you for this. The Lord is not asking the disciples, would you like to do this? Would you like to do this? Jesus is telling the disciples, this is for you. This is your gift. This is what I want you to do. He's not asking. He's not asking you, as they didn't ask me. They didn't ask the disciples either. We were all told, this is what I want for you, and this is what I want from you. Now, you need to realize the power of the story for us as God's people. And why is this so important? Because, you see, the story here is reminiscing of the story of Genesis. Because you remember what happened in Genesis, right? In the creation story. And when Adam was being created, what did God do on Adam? Anybody? God breathed on Adam, right? And he became a living being. Jesus has breathed on us so that we will become the new creation. That is a story about the idea of being born again. We have been born again. We have been created anew. This is a new creation. This is a new time. This is a new eon that God has started. And you are it. You are it. You have been called to be part of this wonderful thing that God is doing right now in our midst. You have been called to be part of this wonderful thing that God is doing right now at this moment in the world, making all things new. But you and I have been given the gifts to make this possible. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus has sent us to do in the world. But then again, it's interesting how the story ends, right? But the story ends with a challenge of faith. The story ends that Jesus have come into the room, have told us of the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, I'm sending you, and I give you authority to forgive sins, just like Jesus did. And then we find a Thomas. How many Thomases do we have here? Don't answer. Don't answer. I'm sort of assuming that most of us happen to be like Thomas. But we find ourselves in the story that there is always a Thomas. That there are many Thomases in our lives. And sometimes we are Thomas. And we find it very hard to believe. That's why the story is so powerful, because the story, although it tells us that God has done all this for us, and God has prepared everything for us, and God has set things in front of us, and God has done things in our lives, even though all that has taken place, we still don't believe. And we have a hard time believing that faith that moves me from assenting to the faith that moves me into action. For you see, Jesus is sending us out. Amen? Jesus is sending us out. But like Thomas, we have to believe. We have to believe that this is what God indeed wants for us. For that faith in what God has done, that trust in the Lord is what it does, makes all the difference in the world. Trusting this God, that what He is telling us, even though we can't see it, it's true. And it is hard. Amen? It is hard. That's, you know, we have to be honest. But you are. You are. You, and I know it's going to be hard for you, because even I'm the pastor, I'm telling you. But Jesus told you before I did. But let me just repeat it again. You are the people that God have given the promises. You are the people that God has called to be part of this new creation, of this new time, of this new eon, where God's will is taking hold of us. But you must believe. We must believe. If we want to see the power of God in the world, we have to believe. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we give you thanks, O Lord, for your mercy. We give you thanks, O Lord, for this call that you continue to place in our lives, Lord. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your constant calling, O Lord, for us to follow you and to do what you call us to do, Lord. We give you thanks, O Lord, for you continue to give us the gifts, for you continue to fill us with your presence and your power and your spirit, that we may be able to do that for which you are sending us out. We, O Lord, thank you for that. And we pray, O Lord, that you help us. That you help us, O Lord, to grow in our faith. That you help us, Lord, to grow in our trust of you. That we may truly become the people you want us to become. That we may truly become the people that you are sending out into the world. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help our unbelief. Help us, O Lord, to accept the gift you have given us and to truly become your witnesses in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.